you very much for the invitation. In a liberal perspective, if secularism is meant as separation of church and state, and not as a hostile attitude towards religious faiths, separation is the condition for religious freedom and mutual respect. Freedom for believers, freedom for non-believers, freedom for religious minorities, equal treatment, equal opportunities, and equal social dignity for all. Whatever the state or public institutions are not strictly neutral, there cannot be equal freedom. And the difference between liberal individual liberties and medieval privileges consists in their universal character. Actually, separation in a liberal perspective has more individual freedom as its purpose, even though in history, freedom was not always the main reason for separation. Most of all, the liberal proclamation of religious freedom and separation was the model upon which all the other liberal individual liberties were shaped in history. Tolerance has indeed existed also in many other societies in the past, and one can date back as much as one wants the earliest clues of a civilization based upon the fundamental value of individual freedom. But freedom of religion and freedom of speech as human rights protected by the rule of law has been a late consequence of the birth of the modern idea of the individual in late medieval Western Europe, and of a long subsequent history of religious struggles and religious intolerance. Modern European individuals asserted the idea of the irrepressibility of individual conscience, even against their own communities and their own families. That slowly led to freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, freedom of thought. Thomas Jefferson, who was himself a deist or perhaps even a non-denominational Christian, like most of the founding fathers of the American Constitution, wrote a letter on January the 1st, 1802, to the Danbury Baptist Association. You will hear it and see how things have changed since, especially in the field of the Baptist, of the American Baptist, not the European ones, by the way. "Believing with you," said Jefferson, "that religion is a matter which lies solely between man and his God," sorry, he was not gender neutral at the time, but nobody was, "and that he owes account, he man, owes account to none other than God for his faith or his worship, I contemplate with sovereign reference the act of the whole American people that declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building," said Jefferson, "a wall of separation between church and state." As everybody knows, Christianity was not born tolerant at all. Some Puritans in Great Rebellion England in the first half of the 17th century came first to the conclusion that human beings, even infallible as they are, could possibly have not understood well enough the scriptures until then, and persecuting heretics could then result in persecuting the truth. I stress this because one should never forget that our freedom was first established not only by those deists, free thinkers and libertines, and later Freemasons and philosophers of the Enlightenment, who wanted to get rid of any established religion that they deemed always superstitious, but also by those strong believers who wanted to be free to worship their God in a different way. And during England's 17th century, their demands met those for economic and political reform, and their encounter led to the birth of liberalism. In the English and Western tradition, that extended to all human differences and to what we call today lifestyles. In the French tradition, separation was not born as a defense of religious freedom, even though, like everywhere, it liberated religious minorities from oppression by the dominant religion. In the French tradition, the emphasis is on the sovereignty of the nation, above any sort of religious, cultural, or political membership of or affiliation of individuals, and on the prominent cultural role of the state. I think this sounds familiar to many Turks. Indeed, there are still traces of this sort of guidelines in the French debates. Yet, even in France, in these debates, today, there is much more room for the protection of the individuals from de facto religious impositions, even if the framework is somehow related to the old French Jacobinic tradition. And unlike what common wisdom suggests, French separation is the least far in Europe from the American one. I think this could be interesting for Turkey, whose secularism is often seen as tributary to the French political experience. But for example, the prohibition of the Islamic veil in French secondary schools had a different logic from its prohibition in Turkish universities, which is a much more Jacobinic model than the first. Probably not in order to risk stigmatizing its Muslim population, the emphasis in France has typically been put on the sacralized neutrality of the public sphere of the Republic. Now, in a state of separation, neutrality is required on the part of public institutions, and according to most of us separatists, also on the part of those acting in their name, such as teachers, judges, public officials acting on behalf of institutions and countries. But in the French interpretation, it is also required on private individuals. But if you listened to the hearings of the Stasi Commission, the real point was not that one. And I confess that due to listening to those hearings, I myself entirely changed my initial position. At the beginning, I was against any prohibition in the name of individual religious freedom. But in the hearings, the point appeared not to be the sacred public sphere of the French Republic. The point was the protection of the free development of the individual personalities of minors of age in face of a previously inimaginably widespread family and community imposition of religious uniformity that had been established in large areas of the French territory. Now, the tragic choice that the French legislator had to do was between either prohibiting the use of the veil also to those schoolgirls who really wanted to wear it, or accepting its imposition on those who were victims of a silent imposition that was possible to detect only in a few number of extreme situations and only in case of a stubborn and almost heroic resistance on the part of the girl. And in any case, its constant imposition from the age of puberty would inevitably turn out in a lifelong conditioning, because everybody understands that through the years, a garment that must be constantly worn in public can develop into nothing less than a second skin. Of course, the veil is a very sensitive issue in Western Europe, because it is not perceived basically as a religious symbol alone, by the way, disputed as such also by many Islamic scholars, even if you could say that this is not my business, but also as a traditional and indeed almost universal, not merely Islamic, sign of patriarchal subjugation of women in the past, and as such conflicting with a very basic principle of our constitutional fabric as equality between men and women. I perfectly know that the veil today is very polysemic, that the subjective ideas of women who wear it vary very much from one another. Nevertheless, there is that sociological situation, there was that sociological situation that was put in evidence by the Stasi Commission. Nevertheless, individual inward assent to any principle cannot be forced in a free society, and in fact wearing the veil is an available option for students in French universities, because university students are usually not underage. As we all know, the veil issue is one of Drey's passions in Western Europe these days, and it is absolutely true that often it is indeed just an excuse for expressing racism and xenophobia. But fighting the coercion of freedom of conscience and religion is as mandatory for a free society as fighting against racism and xenophobia. Certainly it is not only a part of the Islamic communities that have difficulties into coming to terms with separation. First of all, the Roman Catholic Church hierarchy that not only reluctantly came to terms with separation and religious freedom and accepted it in principle only half a century ago, tries, especially in some countries, to seize now the opportunity to ask for a public role of all religions. Of course, religion has a public place, like all the other cultural and philosophical visions of the world have. But it is a vibrant civil society that needs that contribution that can stimulate and even motivate political participation. It should not be a way to divert from above the democratic process and coerce individuals. On the contrary, we think that pluralistic and multi-religious open societies need secular public institutions more than traditional religiously uniform European societies did. Non-believers must never be put in a position of second-class citizens. Liberals in Catholic countries especially have consistently refused for three centuries now impositions upon all of us by law or by custom or tradition of personal behaviors only consistent with a faith many of us do not share. We refuse that religious faith and religious people and leaders be given a privileged rank in our secularized society. And what does in the end this public role mean? What supporters of a new open or positive laicite, laicita, laicidad, or of a new public role of religion should explain is very simple and usually untold. What public resources? What superior social dignity? What greater role, what power of influence should be given to groups qualified or recognized as religious and denied, taken away, or refused to all the others? Answering this question would make things much clearer. And when would we draw the line between what is and what is not religious? Rather, we should reassert that religious freedom is not only the freedom to practice the religion of the ancestors, such an issue would never have been raised otherwise, it is also the individual freedom to relinquish one's ancestors' religion. 1,000 years ago, Europe could have been described as synonymous for Christendom. No longer. Our Europe is liberal and religiously plural. That's why we opposed claims for national identities or a European identity based upon a dominant religion. Civic constitutional values and principles can be the only basis for a European constitutional patriotism. Opposite claims are never candid, never innocent claims. What is claimed is an exegetic principle, a criterion to be implemented in the interpretation of the entire system of law, creating first and second class citizens. Populist politicians in Western Europe would like to cage all of us into closed, homogeneous, and mutually hostile communitarian enclosures. The more controlled, the better. And once again, there is the threat from religious intolerance in the domain of what the Americans called social issues, those controversial ethical issues where no liberal society can allow religious people to have public institutions interfere in the lot of those who do not conform to their wishes and who do not want to be imposed behaviors that are consistent only with principles, opinions, and beliefs different from their own. Such is the problem in the domain of education, marriage, divorce, family law, gay rights, abortion, artificial insemination, sexual life in general, freedom of scientific research, stem cells research, living will, euthanasia, religious discrimination, positive or negative, in low or even worse, high profile appointments to private or public posts. These matters affect equal social dignity. And freedom for every single individual, beginning with those who choose, like heretics and reformers in our history centuries ago, to object, to reject, or to relinquish the faith and the traditions of their ancestors. Liberal values and principles can only be enforced in an institutional framework of religious neutrality and separation, as large as practically feasible, between religion and political power, that has proved so successful in our great liberal tradition in the past. Back to imposed religious uniformity, or to religious inequality, or to religious supremacy cannot be an option for 21st century Europe. Thank you.
Zamana da riayet ettiği için Sayın Erkolesi'ye teşekkür ediyoruz. Şimdi yardımcı doçent doktor Sayın Adnan Küçük'ten sunuşunu yapmasını rica ediyoruz.